Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newkman. Right now, we welcome back to the program Pastor Steve Brogan of the Fair Park Bible Fellowship in Dallas. He's a part of the National Black Pro-Life Coalition. Pastor Brogan, thanks again for joining us.
Good to be with you. That's B-R-O-D-E-N, Brogan.
All right, very good. Now, I wanted to ask you about what role Christians can play as we move forward as a society. It seems like there are many who want to really essentially marginalize any conservative Christian voice today.
Well, I think we take our directives from Scripture, and in spite of the fact that many are uncomfortable with our presence in the public square, we have an obligation and responsibility to follow through on that which has been outlined for us within the Word of God. And as you well know, God called us to be salt and light agents in the kingdom and in the culture. So we represent the mind of God in the public square. We speak truth to power, and we bring a divine perspective on issues of sociology and psychology and government issues and concerns and legislation and policies. We bring a divine perspective. Our voice is an essential part of the mosaic that is called America. And so we represent a perspective that brings a moral and a biblical and a divine understanding to issues that will touch all of us in our homes, our families, our children, and so forth. So I believe our role is defined for us within the Scriptures, and we have an obligation, yea, even a duty, to follow through on that which God called us to be.
Do you think Christians made a difference in the recent elections?
I believe that we made an extraordinary difference, and we did it on our knees. That Christians were praying and asking for mercy and for the grace of God, for forgiveness of our sins. And I know that there were pockets of Christians praying from sea to shining sea, that we were praying. And I was a part of many of those prayer groups and prayer efforts. We beseech the Lord to give us an opportunity to correct what has been wrong about our actions and our failure to follow through on being the salt and light agents of his kingdom. And I believe God has granted to us a reprieve. Now, the word reprieve means that it's like a stay that God gives to us that prevents punishment from taking place. So I believe we're in a reprieve right now. And wherever there's a reprieve, there's an obligation and responsibility for us to make a correction. God is giving us an opportunity to correct what we failed to do as salt and light agents, as being stewards of our liberty and of our divine and religious freedoms that we have. We sort of played political correctness on the sidelines, and we've allowed political correctness to trump biblical correctness, and Lord knows we forgot all about constitutional correctness. So PC, Trump BC, and CC was thrown under the bus.
What was the last thing? The CC, what was thrown under the bus?
Constitutional correctness.
Ah, okay. So comment about the Supreme Court. I'm sure there's going to be a huge battle in the days to come over this.
Well, the Supreme Court has been an extreme disappointment to us who are a part of the evangelical community. Certainly they disappointed us with Roe v. Wade, and they disappointed us with same-sex marriage, and they have disappointed us with Obamacare. In many instances, we are dealing with an activist court, a court that has gone beyond the duty specified to it within the Constitution. They are interpreters. I like the analogy of an umpire who is simply calling balls and strikes. It's constitutional or it's not constitutional. But what we saw with Justice Roberts in the Obamacare or Affordable Health Care Act is that he went beyond the definitions that are specified to the Supreme Court in the Constitution and made a law that Obamacare could, in fact, be a tax and that he made it legal. That was the most disappointing decisions made recently, but certainly the decision to codify into our culture same-sex marriage has been one that has been devastating, I think, to the family and to traditional values. And now we, who are part of the evangelical community, are in a position to have to explain to our children what this is all about. And our voice is being competed with by our government, by big business, by academia, by the major institutions that influence us most, have embraced the LGBT community's definition of marriage. And now they are defining it, and we are going to be represented in the minds of our children as the bigots. Mm. They're going to say, Dad, everybody else is teaching this, but you're teaching that the Bible says this. And I just think that you look like the bigot compared to every other institution that influences us. They're saying it's okay. So we've seen a great disappointment here. And I don't know how we can correct that other than through nullification, which is a constitutional right and duty that every sovereign state has. They have a responsibility to stand between the central government and the citizens of their state, making sure that unconstitutional acts do not touch them through the process of what is called nullification. As you know, in the Federalist Paper 78, Alexander Hamilton says anything that comes out of Washington, D.C. that goes beyond the tenor of the commission, and the tenor of commission here is the Constitution, the voice of the Constitution, is null and void. And I believe that we have seen that repeatedly by the Supreme Court, and we need our elected officials, our governors in particular, governors, our attorney generals, and our lieutenant governors to stand up on behalf of the people and nullify all unconstitutional acts. And it's a bold action that can be taken, and states have taken it before. Colorado, for example, has nullified a federal law on marijuana, and they just decided that your law doesn't apply in our state. And sanctuary cities nullify the federal government's laws on illegal immigration. They just simply nullify it and say, we're going to do what we want to do. But we haven't seen our state stand up on a legitimate issue of same-sex marriage, Obamacare, and transgender bathrooms and showers, and make a nullification of these unconstitutional acts. They need to do it, but they won't do it until we, as a people, understand that that is a responsibility and a duty that they have in representing our interests.
All right, now let me ask you this. What would you say to the liberal who would argue, okay, if, let's take the example of transgender bathrooms. Okay, if that was such an offense to so many Americans, how is it that in North Carolina, as of the recording of this segment, this radio segment, we're recording this on November 29th in the year of our Lord, 2016. I always like saying that because it's so politically incorrect, but it's accurate. Anyway, we don't even know who the next governor will be of North Carolina, and very much on the ballot there was the issue of transgender bathrooms, or, you know, more traditional bathrooms. Men go into the men's room and ladies in the ladies' room. And so your comments.
Well, as you well know, much of this issue has been framed through, in North Carolina, framed through the grid of economics. And somehow there is this pressure to accept that which is immoral and wrong, because it may, if we don't accept it, it may have an adverse impact on the economy of the state. And I think that has happened too much in our country.
Yeah,
this happened back when Bill Clinton got caught in that scandal with Monica Lewinsky. And the mantra at the time was, it's the economy, stupid. We don't care what's going on in his bedroom. And that is a decision that people are making, economics versus morality. For us who are Christians, it's not about economics. It is about the mind of God and whether these actions that we're engaged in is an offense to God,
yeah,
offense to our moral sensibilities and sensitivities. It's an offense. And we believe that God will meet our needs according to his riches and glory. We don't make decisions on whether we're going to be able to get a paycheck based upon whether I should support something that is wrong because I'm going to get a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
No, His name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He will meet our needs.
That's right.
And we make the decision based upon what is right versus what is wrong. I submit to you what's happening in North Carolina is that they have been bullied by the business community and the corporations and NFL and the major league sports from
the
around the country and from the different businesses and corporations that put pressure on them.
Yeah.
And if you don't do this, we're going to withdraw our money.
Well,
instead of the Christian, their evangelical community standing up and say, if you put this kind of pressure on us, we will exercise a boycott against the NFL, against the corporations, against Angie's List, against Walmart, Target, and whoever is putting pressure on them. We won't buy from you, and we'll see who win the day. If we would just organize as evangelicals across this country and do it, but we haven't done it.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, it does seem that evangelicals finally did organize over the Trump presidency, and not only did he win, but the Republicans won the Senate again and also retained the House. And that was kind of surprising, especially because, you know, all the polls were predicting that Clinton would win and that the Senate would be lost to the Republicans.
Yes, I think it's an extraordinary demonstration of the power of prayer. One of my professors at Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Norman Geisler, would say this. He would say that prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle in the arm of God.
Mm.
We started to pray, and God heard us. We cried out to him, and he heard us. If this does anything at all for us as a community, it ought to reinforce in us the power of prayer and get us on our knees again, praying and moving, because we know that faith is a verb, it's not a noun. Faith is action, is taking what God has said and appropriating, applying it, and exercising it in our lives daily. And so it ought to be a reinforcement to us that we can get things done in America if we would just simply get up by faith and through prayer and enter into the public square and be the salt and light agent that God called us to be and speak truth to power and lead this nation back into the direction that it needs to go, that is back into a Judeo-Christian ethic that has been responsible for undergirding who we are as a nation and making us one of the greatest nations on the planet Earth. That's because we had a reverence and a submission to the will and purpose of God.
You know, it's interesting in what you just said, and I agree with everything you just said. The operative phrase there was enter the public square. I fear that for too long, evangelicals have basically felt like, well, you know, that's politics. We want nothing to do with politics. We're just about preaching the gospel. And that sentiment still carries the day for many people and many pastors today. Don't you think, Pastor Broden?
I think so. And I think that, and if they maintain that perspective, we're going to lose the day. We're going to lose this country. I think
you're
the
right.
Reprieve that we're under now is one that should garner and garrison an action and a response from our community to go back into the public square and to rescue this republic from the godless ideologies that have been inundating the public square, humanism, communism, socialism, Marxism, and above all, Darwinism. And all those isms are anti-God theologies, or not theologies, but philosophies that are moving our country further and further away from God. And if we do not enter the public square, those philosophies will dominate the public square. They haven't gone away. We've won a reprieve from God in order to correct what is wrong. The other side is organizing and reorganizing to come back at us again. And when they come, they're going to come hard. And we better be ready. And the only way to be ready is on our knees and in the public square, pushing back, holding our elected officials accountable to fulfill their duty under the Constitution definition, under the constitutional definitions specified to them, and get them to follow through. And that's what we haven't been doing. And political correctness is killing our country, is killing the church, and because the church failed to recognize that God called us to be salt and light. And let me tell you, light shines in the darkness, and salt preserves. And so we are in the culture. We've got to be there. If we don't, we're going to lose.
Amen.
Simply going to lose.
What is your website, sir? That's the last question.
The Black Pro-Life blackprolife.life. That's blackprolifecoalition.life.
L-I-F-E. Thank you so much. God bless you. Talk to you later.
You bet.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.